from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Council.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins, you know what I mean?
Craig Council.
Nobody is interested in your takes, I promise. I promise.
God, that checks out.
What are they tuning into right now? This guy over here, it's the Parkins and Spiegel show. You're a guest, Craig.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Did you see the meme? You were memed very well last week with the hair, the hat head.
No, I try to stay away from that. I think that's healthy for me.
Don't you think he needs somebody in his life that tells him when he's been memed? You think?
We could be that for you, Craig.
Oh, God.
You guys are so much for me already. I don't want to put too much on your plate.
All right, fine, smartass. That's Craig Council, manager of the Chicago Cubs.
We mean a lot to him. I think that's what he said. You guys are already so much for me.
You guys are so much for me already.
We're not going to be the people in his life to tell him what he's been memed.
Only imagine how little we mean to him.
Craig Council with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Craig Council, kind enough to join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Thanks for the time, as always, Craig. How's it going, man?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing well. When do we get any reinforcements? There's a lot of injured guys. I know Merriweather threw yesterday. Any timeline on any of these guys coming back to help you out a little bit?
I mean, I think kind of the general timeline, nobody's into rehab games yet. So I think the general timeline for a group of guys is post All-Star break and the second half of July. I think Mark Leiter's probably trending towards the first one back just because he hasn't missed that much. I'd say Leiter and Assad are probably the early ones. And then, second half of July is kind of the Julian Merriweather, I'd say Merriweather and Jordan Wicks kind of second half of July.
What have you learned about some of the young guys who have been forced into some arduous situations in their stead over the past couple of weeks?
Well, I think you're talking about Luke Little and Porter Hodge probably.
Yeah.
And I think they've you know done great with these opportunities, and it's been, you know, for Luke, we've seen him most of the year, and you know, he's done a great job, I think, since coming back up of just sticking to like what he needs to do to be better. And it's really about, you have to be two pitches. You can't just be one pitch in the strike zone. And since the slider's been in the strike zone, it's no coincidence that is, you know, he's been a better pitcher. And then Porter, really, we're 15 innings into a big league career. So, you know, the learning that's coming at him is really fast, but he is learning fast, and we've seen good results from that.
Last night, the early innings kind of felt like the season. Like, balls hit hard in the first inning. Nico is, 6 inches from a double down the line, and Castellanos makes that catch on Bellinger. And then they get a two-run opposite field double from a backup catcher. It's like, when you're going through a stretch like this, does the mood in the dugout go south when things have been bad already to that point?
No, because you got to go out there and compete still, and we all know that doesn't help you. Because when you're you got competition coming right ahead of you, you better have kind of your game face on, so to speak, at all times, because there's more coming at you. So, you keep competing, you keep doing your best. You can kind of tell a story about how the game didn't go your way. Nobody's going to feel bad for you about that. You just got to do a little better.
Do you scoreboard or standings watch at this point of the year?
I do not. I mean, the scoreboard, I think everybody scoreboard watches because it's we're staring at it every day, so it's hard to say you don't scoreboard watch. Standings watch, no.
Even though you're staring at those flags every day.
Well, if you're staring at the flags, you're staring at the scoreboards, I think.
That's true. That's a good point. It is in the same general direction. I guess just like, so you were saying, you know.
Do you lack peripheral vision?
No, I can take it all in, and it's all right there on my app. Smartphones, they're unbelievable. But like you were saying, you know, All-Star break, late July, but then you have the reality of, okay, we're in last place, we're double-digit games out. Like, it's almost like, is that going to be too little too late, given the realities of where you are in the standings?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't do me any good to think like that. You think about today's game and what do you control? And that's how you have to go about this. I can't worry about 12 games down the road. You worry about tonight. You worry about trying to get a result tonight. And then, you know, when you look up in 12 days, you're going to be, you know, after a product of your results those previous 12 days. And that sounds, it's how you have to do it. And we'll keep doing it that way.
You know, it's funny, Craig, like through the years, so many times watching baseball, covering baseball is like, well, they're struggling. It's about time to fire the hitting coach. You know, it's like it's so often just kind of a default first step that sort of happens or whatever. And I've fought against that because, like, hitting is so hard, and individual relationships with hitting coaches and anecdotal stuff, like, it can be a tricky thing. But looking at this team, I keep thinking, God, there seems to be some kind of group hitting thing that's wrong. Something's broken on a group level with the overall hitting approach. So can you help us understand if that is even a thing? Like the overall group's mindset at the plate, thinking of it as one cohesive thing, it looking the way it looks right now is troubling. Is that a concept we can even get behind, that you all share one sort of concept in that way?
Well, I mean, I think there's, like, you go into games and you share a concept for sure. Like, is the concept wrong? I mean, I think there's individual nights you can say, yeah, I mean, the guy did a better job of that than we expected. But I think last night we were, you know, I think we were on the right concept. We didn't get hits from it. And that's, you know, you didn't get hits. We didn't square the ball up quite enough. But usually, like, look, it's on, you know, I think hitting is on the, you know, the individuals, and the individuals kind of collectively doing well and taking their turns doing well together creates a circle. And then you get some, you know, your best players do some really impressive things as compared to the league. And that's what creates offense. And we've struggled in a couple areas this year, and that's what's led to, you know, frankly, not a good enough offense.
Where do you think you've struggled the most when you think about it?
Well, the number one is we've struggled from offense at the catcher position. There's no question about that. And then, you know, I think I don't think we have any players kind of having, you know, the all-star type seasons offensively. So nobody's kind of exceeding expectations. So that caps it. And then the unlucky part is the runners in scoring position stuff is that's the point where you can kind of point to we just haven't caught breaks there. And that's, you know, I think statistically plays out too. And that hurts you as well.
You know, when we had Carter Hawkins on at Cubs convention, like to ask him the question, or anyone in his role, like, who are you guys expecting big things from that maybe fans and media aren't talking about? And he singled out one name to us this year, and he said Miguel Amaya. And then you just talked about the catching position and offensive production. What hasn't gone according to how you guys clearly projected it internally? Like, why hasn't it been working?
Yeah, I mean, the why is he you know, he's a young player that I think in 170 plate appearances last year showed a really positive first step. And there's just been regression to that this year. And he's struggled this year. He's a young player. And hopefully these at bats are a teacher for him at some point. But we haven't got production from that spot. And it hurts your offense.
We're talking to Craig Counsell here, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. You know, we get to talk to you every couple of weeks, and so now this is past the halfway point of the season. So I was thinking about things that we asked you before the season started, and we could just check back in. I remember we joked about, like, the only thing you got asked about more than yourself was Christopher Morel. How has he been defensively at third base now that we're a half a season in relative to what you expected him to be defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is progress that is, we have moved forward there. He has gotten better. I think I'm very confident in saying that. You know, I think now the question is, like, how much better can we get the second half of the season? And then when we evaluate that, is like, is that going to be good enough moving forward to commit to the player? And I think that's kind of where we're at with it. And that's, I think that's pretty fair. But he has gotten better for sure. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that part. You know, probably the offense has been disappointing, but he has gotten better defensively.
Do you think that's at all carried over because of the defense? Like, is it impacting him at the plate?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
What have you learned about this bunch, about some of these guys? And now that you've had a half a season and had all the spring to get to know them, what are some things you feel like you know now that you didn't know then?
About who?
I can get specific if you like. I was going to let you go to whoever you wanted to in the lineup. But, you know, how about Ian? How about Ian Happ and Nico Horner? What have you learned about those guys?
Well, I mean, I think Ian is very, what I love about Ian is very, like, dedicated and serious about his craft. And the detail that he kind of prepares with is really cool. For Nico, it's just like, it's kind of Energizer Bunny, man. Like, it's just going and going and going. And his kind of relentlessness and grit, like, they, you know, that's kind of a word that gets thrown around a lot, but like, he is like the definition of grit. Like, it never stops. And that's a really great trait, and it rubs off on other people.
Oh, we'll tell those guys. We get a chance to talk to those guys. We'll tell them. I'll give you Dansby Swanson and Seiya Suzuki. What have you learned about managing those guys?
You know, I Dansby is really interesting because he's been on some other teams, kind of unlike those other guys, those first couple of guys you mentioned. And so just some perspective from having success in some other places has been interesting for sure. You know, Dansby's season, I think, like, you know, he hasn't had the offensive season that he's wanted to for sure. You know, and I think the knee kind of messing him up early in the season, that derailed him a little bit. Hopefully we can get him back on track for the second half. I think that's really important to get him. I think he's doing in a good spot health-wise now, but it certainly derailed him for a little bit. You know, I think Seiya's having a pretty good season. I think, you know, if you look at his numbers right now and you look at where offense in the league is, he's having a pretty good offensive season. Offense is different this year. It's a little bit down. If you look at Seiya's numbers, he is doing a pretty darn good job. It's quiet. It doesn't feel like super loud, but he's doing a pretty good job.
I'll ask you about one more guy in, like, the micro. We get asked about him more than maybe anyone else by fans, and that's PCA, right? Like, the speed is easy to see. The glove is easy to see. So hyped as a prospect and who he came here for in a trade. He has that at bat in the Saturday game against Milwaukee where he rallies 0-2 count, drives the ball to right field, puts you guys ahead, seems like a mature at bat. He's had stand-up triples. That's easy to profile. But, like, what do you think he profiles as an offensive player at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, Pete is a player that there's been players, very many similar players like this, and it's just it's easy to see his physical gifts. For even for fans, right? It's just they just jump out at you. And those players have come with the biggest expectations. And they often come with the largest learning curve too. That's just kind of the way it is. And so Pete's like still needs at bats. There's no question. Like experience just facing major league pitching. Like sometimes it's the failures too. But we just got to keep Pete going in the right direction. He's an unfinished offensive player. There's no question about unfinished hitter. And we've just got to keep making progress with him as a hitter. It's not always linear. And sometimes it's frankly, some of the at-bats are tough to watch. Right. But we just got to keep making progress with him. Because it's where there is a great player in there. You don't know when it's going to come out exactly. But there is a great player in there.
We're talking to Craig Counsell. I know, your job is as manager, like you said, win a game today, but you have front office experience. It's July. You understand the conversation around the trade deadline. Theo Epstein once told Spiegs and I on the show, like, even if you're in a competitive window, you can never waste an opportunity to sell by like lying to yourself about what you are in that particular year, because those opportunities when you're supposed to be competitive are so infrequent. Do you share that philosophy in general, if it came to that?
I'm not sure I understand what he said. Can you?
Yeah. So, I mean, this was in 17?
It was in 17.
17.
And he was admitting that they were going to have to consider selling if they didn't get it together by around the time the deadline came.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I always just look at it like you just got to make good decisions. Like whatever a good decision is, make the good decision. So it's simple as that. Like for me, I don't know.
You know, it's an interesting spot, Craig, is like manager value and what it is. I remember during the press conference, you talked very specifically about it's a lot of good decisions kind of lining up. And that accumulates the value. Is a half season enough to see what a manager's value is? Because it's been a tough go, as you know.
I don't know. I mean, I know my philosophy hasn't changed there, so I'm going to keep doing that. And I still think that's my job, so that's not going to change.
We were wondering who the best offensive player you had was as a teammate and how it impacted you guys in the lineup when you were like, oh, damn, that guy was carrying us, and like the presence of the superstar as a player.
The best offensive season probably that I ever saw was probably Luis Gonzalez in 2001.
I'm looking at it right now. Figured that's where you're going to go. That's pretty good. 57 homers, 142 RBIs for Luis Gonzalez. OPS over 1.1. So, yeah, that's the question. What was the impact for you guys knowing that you had a dude who was just, like, dominating like that? How did that have an effect on the rest of the lineup, if it did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was a great offensive team, actually. But it was obviously a good, very good team. I mean, it helped me. I hit in front of them. I mean, I knew they weren't going to try to walk me, because why would you? But it didn't make me any better, really. You know?
No.
The thing it helped is that you have one player just creating so many runs. I mean, that's what those seasons do. He was by himself just creating a massive number of runs. And so he's basically taking the burden off, players like myself or whoever, other players in the lineup.
So psychologically, does it help Bryson Stott or Alec Bohm to know that they've got superstars around them in the lineup to improve? Is that a real thing in MLB?
Look, I think obviously players having great years, there is some psychological benefit to it. Like, I can't tell you exactly how much, but of course, like watching a guy have a great year around you, he's doing great things for your team that clearly is going to make you feel good.
Hey, you carried him in the 2001 NLCS, okay?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe for five games. Yep.
See, I'm just saying, give yourself a little credit. All right, Craig. Well, thank you for the time, man. As always, go get him tonight, and we'll see you at the ballpark soon.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
Thank you, Craig. As manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell, it's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Counsell.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins, you know what I mean?
Craig Counsell.
Nobody is interested in your takes, I promise. I promise.
God, that
I
checks promise. Out.
What are they tuning into right now? This guy over here, it's the Parkinson Spiegel Show. You're a guest, Craig.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Did you see the meme? You were memed very well last week with the hair, the hat head.
No, I try to stay away from that. I think that's healthy for me.
Don't you think he needs somebody in his life that tells him when he's been memed? You think?
We could be that for you, Craig.
Oh, God.
You guys are so much for me already. I don't want to put too much on your plate.
All right, fine, smartass. That's Craig Counsell, manager of the Chicago Cubs.
We mean a lot to him. I think that's what he said. You guys are already so much for me. We're not going to be the people in his life to tell him what he's been memed.
Only imagine how little we mean to him.
Craig Counsell with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Craig Counsell, kind enough to join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Thanks for the time, as always, Craig. How's it going, man?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing well. When do we get any reinforcements? There's a lot of injured guys. I know Merriweather threw yesterday. Any timeline on any of these guys coming back to help you out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of the general timeline, nobody's into rehab games yet. So I think the general timeline for a group of guys is post All-Star break and the second half of July. I think Mark Leiter's probably trending towards the first one back just because he hasn't missed that much. I'd say Leiter and Assad are probably the early ones. And then, second half of July is kind of the Julian Merriweather, I'd say Merriweather and Jordan Wicks kind of second half of July.
What have you learned about some of the young guys who have been forced into some arduous situations in their stead over the past couple weeks?
Well, I think you're talking about Luke Little and Porter Hodge probably.
Yeah.
And I think they've you know done great with these opportunities, and it's been, you know, for Luke, we've seen him most of the year, and you know, he's done a great job, I think, since coming back up of just sticking to like what he needs to do to be better. And it's really about, you have to be two pitches. You can't just be one pitch in the strike zone. And since the slider's been in the strike zone, it's no coincidence that is, you know, he's been a better pitcher. And then Porter, really, we're 15 innings into a big league career. So, you know, the learning that's coming at him is really fast, but he is learning fast, and we've seen good results from that.
Last night, the early innings kind of felt like the season. Like, balls hit hard in the first inning. My Nico is, 6 inches from a double down the line, and Castellanos makes that catch on Bellinger. And then they get a two-run opposite field double from a backup catcher. It's like, when you're going through a stretch like this, does the mood in the dugout go south when things have been bad already to that point?
No, because you got to go out there and compete still, and we all know that doesn't help you. Because when you're you got competition coming right ahead of you, you better have kind of your game face on, so to speak, at all times, because there's more coming at you. So, you keep competing, you keep doing your best. You can kind of tell a story about how the game didn't go your way. Nobody's going to feel bad for you about that. You just got to do a little better.
Do you scoreboard or standings watch at this point of the year?
I do not. The scoreboard, I think everybody scoreboard watches because it's we're staring at it every day, so it's hard to say you don't scoreboard watch. Standings watch, no.
Even though you're staring at those flags every day.
Well, if you're staring at the flags, you're staring at the scoreboards, I think.
That's true. It's a good point. It is in the same general direction. I guess just like, so you were saying,
Do you lack peripheral vision?
No, I can take it all in, and it's all right there on my app. Smartphones. They're unbelievable. But like you were saying, All-Star break, late July, but then you have the reality of, okay, we're in last place, we're double-digit games out, like, it's almost like, is that going to be too little too late given the realities of where you are in the standings?
Yeah, it just doesn't do me any good to think like that. You think about today's game and what do you control? And that's how you have to go about this. I can't worry about 12 games down the road. You worry about tonight. You worry about trying to get a result tonight. When you look up in 12 days, you're going to be, after a product of your results those previous 12 days. And that sounds, it's how you have to do it. And we'll keep doing it that way.
It's funny, Craig, like through the years, so many times watching baseball, covering baseball is like, well, they're struggling. It's about time to fire the hitting coach. It's so often just kind of a default first step that sort of happens or whatever. And I've fought against that because, hitting is so hard, and individual relationships with hitting coaches and anecdotal stuff, it can be a tricky thing. But looking at this team, I keep thinking, God, there seems to be some kind of group hitting thing that's wrong. Something's broken on a group level with the overall hitting approach. So can you help us understand if that is even a thing? Like the overall group's mindset at the plate, thinking of it as one cohesive thing, it looking the way it looks right now is troubling. Is that a concept we can even get behind, that you all share one sort of concept in that way?
Well, I think there's you go into games and you share a concept for sure. Is the concept wrong? I think there's individual nights you can say, yeah, the guy did a better job with that than we expected. But I think last night we were, I think we were on the right concept. We didn't get hits from it. And that's, you didn't get hits. We didn't square the ball up quite enough. But usually, it's on, I think hitting is on the individuals, and the individuals kind of collectively doing well and taking their turns doing well together creates a circle. And then you get some, your best players do some really impressive things as compared to the league. And that's what creates offense. We've struggled in a couple areas this year, and that's what's led to, frankly, not a good enough offense.
Where do you think you've struggled the most when you think about it?
Well, the number one is we've struggled from offense at the catcher position. There's no question about that. I don't think we have any players kind of having, the all-star type seasons offensively. So nobody's kind of exceeding expectations. So that caps it. The unlucky part is the runners in scoring position stuff is that's the point where you can kind of point to just, we just haven't caught breaks there. And that's, I think statistically plays out too. And that hurts you as well.
When we had Carter Hawkins on at Cubs convention, like to ask him the question, or anyone in his role, Who are you guys expecting big things from that maybe fans and media aren't talking about? And he singled out one name to us this year, and he said Miguel Amaya. And then you just talked about the catching position and offensive production. What hasn't gone according to how you guys clearly projected it internally? Like, why hasn't it been working?
Yeah, I mean, the why is he you know, he's a young player that I think in 170 plate appearances last year showed a really positive first step. And there's just been regression to that this year. And he's struggled this year. He's a young player. And hopefully these at bats are a teacher for him at some point. But we haven't got production from that spot. And it hurts your offense.
We're talking to Craig Counsell here, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. You know, we get to talk to you every couple of weeks, and so now this is past the halfway point of the season. So I was thinking about things that we asked you before the season started, and we could just check back in. I remember we joked about, like, the only thing you got asked about more than yourself was Christopher Morel. How has he been defensively at third base now that we're a half a season in relative to what you expected him to be defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is progress that we have moved forward there. He has gotten better. I think I'm very confident in saying that. You know, I think now the question is, like, how much better can we get the second half of the season? And then when we evaluate that, is like, is that going to be good enough moving forward to commit to the player? And I think that's kind of where we're at with it. And that's, I think that's pretty fair. But he has gotten better for sure. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that part. You know, probably the offense has been disappointing, but he has gotten better defensively.
Do you think that's at all carried over because of the defense? Like, is it impacting him at the plate?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
What have you learned about this bunch, about some of these guys? And now that you've had a half a season and had all the spring to get to know them, what are some things you feel like you know now that you didn't know then?
About who?
I can get specific if you like. I was going to let you go to whoever you wanted to in the lineup. But, you know, how about Ian? How about Ian Happ and Nico Horner? What have you learned about those guys?
Well, I mean, I think Ian is very, what I love about Ian is very, like, dedicated and serious about his craft. And the detail that he kind of prepares with is really cool. For Nico, it's just like, it's kind of Energizer Bunny, man. Like, it's just going and going and going. And his kind of relentlessness and grit, like, they, you know, that's kind of a word that gets thrown around a lot, but like he is like the definition of grit. Like, it never stops. And that's a really great trait, and it rubs off on other people.
Oh, we'll tell those guys. We get a chance to talk to those guys. We'll tell them. I'll give you Dansby Swanson and Seiya Suzuki. What have you learned about managing those guys?
You know, I Dansby is really interesting because he's been on some other teams, kind of unlike those other guys, those first couple guys you mentioned. And so just some perspective from having success in some other places has been interesting for sure. You know, Dansby's season, I think, like, you know, he hasn't had the offensive season that he's wanted to for sure. You know, I think the knee kind of messing him up early in the season that derailed him a little bit. Hopefully we can get him back on track for the second half. I think that's really important to get him. I think he's doing in a good spot health wise now, but it certainly derailed him for a little bit. You know, I think Say is having a pretty good season. I think, you know, if you look at his numbers right now and you look at where offense in the league is, he's having a pretty good offensive season. Offense is different this year. It's a little bit down. If you look at Say's numbers, he is doing a pretty darn good job. It's quiet. It doesn't feel like super loud, but he's doing a pretty good job.
I'll ask you about one more guy in, like, the micro. We get asked about him more than maybe anyone else by fans, and that's PCA, right? Like, the speed is easy to see. The glove is easy to see. So hyped as a prospect and who he came here for in a trade. He has that at bat in the Saturday game against Milwaukee where he rallies 0-2 count,
drives the ball to right field, puts you guys ahead, seems like a mature at bat. He's had stand-up triples. That's easy to profile. But, like, what do you think he profiles as an offensive player at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, Pete is a player that there's been players, very many similar players like this, and it's just he is easy. It's easy to see his physical gifts. For even for fans, right? It's just they just jump out at you, and those players have come with the biggest expectations, and they often come with the largest learning curve too. That's just kind of the way it is, and so Pete's like still needs at bats. There's no question. Like experience, just facing major league pitching. Like sometimes it's the failures too, but we just got to keep Pete going in the right direction. He's an unfinished offensive player. There's no question about unfinished hitter. And we've just got to keep making progress with him as a hitter. It's not always linear. And sometimes it's frankly, some of the at-bats are tough to watch. Right. But we just got to keep making progress with him because it's where the, you know, there is a great player in there. You don't know when it's going to come out exactly, but there is a great player in there.
We're talking to Craig Counsell. I know, you know, your job is as manager, like you said, win a game today, but you have front office experience. It's July. You understand the conversation around the trade deadline. Theo Epstein once told Speaks and I on the show, like, even if you're in a competitive window, you can never waste an opportunity to sell by like lying to yourself about what you are in that particular year, because those opportunities when you're supposed to be competitive are so infrequent. Do you share that philosophy in general if it came to that?
I'm not sure I understand what he said. Can you...
Yeah, so, I mean, this was in 17?
It was in 17.
17.
And he was admitting that they were going to have to consider selling if they didn't get it together by around the time the deadline came.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always just look at it like you just got to make good decisions. Like, whatever a good decision is, make the good decision. So, it's simple as that. Like, for me, I don't know.
You know, it's an interesting spot, Craig, is like manager value and what it is. I remember during the press conference, you talked very specifically about it's a lot of good decisions kind of lining up and that accumulates the value. Is a half season enough to see what a manager's value is? Because it's been a tough go, as you know.
I don't know. I mean, I know my philosophy hasn't changed there, so I'm going to keep doing that. And I still think that's my job, so that's not going to change.
We were wondering who the best offensive player you had was as a teammate and how it impacted you guys in the lineup when you were like, oh, damn, that guy was carrying us and like the presence of the superstar as a player.
The best offensive season probably that I ever saw was probably Luis Gonzalez in 2001.
I'm looking at it right now. Figured that's where you're going to go. That's pretty good. 57 homers, 142 RBIs, for Luis Gonzalez, OPS over 1.1. So yeah, that's the question. What was the impact for you guys knowing that you had a dude who was just like dominating like that? How did that have an effect on the rest of the lineup? If it did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was a great offensive team, actually, but it was obviously a good, very good team. I mean, it helped me. I hit in front of them. I mean, I knew they weren't going to try to walk me because why would you? But it didn't make me any better, really. You
know? No.
The thing it helped is that you have one player just creating so many runs. I mean, that's what those seasons do. He was by himself just creating a massive number of runs. And so he's basically taking the burden off, you know, players like myself or whoever, other players in the lineup.
So psychologically, does it help Bryson Stott or Alec Bohm to know that they've got superstars around them in the lineup to improve? Is that a real thing in MLB?
Look, I think obviously have players having great years, you know, there is some psychological benefit to it. Like, I can't tell you exactly how much. But of course, like watching a guy have a great year around you, you know, he's doing great things for your team that clearly is going to make you feel good.
Hey, you carried him in the 2001 NLCS, okay?
Yeah, maybe. You're right. Maybe for five games. Yep.
I'm just saying, give yourself a little credit. All right, Craig. Well, thank you for the time, man, as always. Go get him tonight, and we'll see you at the ballpark soon.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
Thank
Craig.
You. As manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell, it's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.